You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live from Radio City Music Hall in New York City on ESPN 850 WKNR and online at clevelandbrowns.com.
Get the latest Browns draft coverage directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple, Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. And yes, indeed, we are live inside of Radio City Music Hall as the draft area being set up. They're going through the drills, the practice in. We just heard the Star Spangled Banner get a little a rehearsal on that.
Yes.
It is exciting. It was inspiring. We started singing along with it. And I can't wait to see how this all unfolds. Again, the draft beginning in just 5 hours and 40 minutes. All the speculation will be over, but we still have time to speculate. And let's bring in our good buddy Scott Petrek from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. And Scott, as we sit here now inching closer to this draft, this seemingly unreachable destination is upon us. What are you hearing about the Browns and your expectations for the number four pick?
Yeah, you know what, I think there's a chance to trade down, depending on who's available at number four. Right now, my guess is it's 50-50, whether they stay at four and make that pick or try to move back, whether it's two, three, five spots, and just add to that haul so they have more flexibility later in the first couple of rounds. But if they stay at four, you know, I've been sticking with Sammy Watkins for a long time, and if he's there, I think it just makes too much sense to pass on him.
Ohio Business Machines Hotline is how we have Scott Petrek joining us right here. And, Scott, let me ask you this. As far as what we heard earlier from Sal Palantonio from ESPN, he brought up the idea, he mentioned the name specifically, Justin Gilbert, widely regarded as the best corner in this draft, Oklahoma State. And he said from a dinner with Mike Pettine that Sal had, he gleaned that was a player he specifically, the head coach specifically liked, wanted, feels is an important ingredient to this defense. Now, it didn't seem as if this was the kind of guy that necessarily the Browns want to take it for, but if they were to trade down with Atlanta, and he specifically brought that up to number six, that might be the place to get Gilbert there. What do you make of that?
I think that makes all the sense in the world. To me, corner is the number one need right now on this football team. I think you can start your I think they need a second receiver, but you can start Nate Burleson there. I think they need a quarterback for the long term, but I'm fine with Brian Hoyer for this year, and I think you can get a quarterback down the road. I want Buster Skrien to be that nickel corner, and I think you need a number two to pair with Joe Hayden, and I love the idea of that. And if you, whatever you pick up, whether it's a third round or whatever you can get to move back, I like Justin Gilbert if he's their top corner. I'd be happy with whoever their top corner is, getting him at whether it's 6, 7, 9. I think you got to get it before Detroit at 10. I love that idea, and I think it gives you a bunch of options. And a lot of times, corners, the top corner goes in the top five. You know, I think Joe Hayden was 6 or 7. It just makes sense to me. I think it's one of those positions, and Mike Pettine said it. I heard him say it to Sal Palantonio. It's one of those positions that you bump up your draft board because it's so important. So I'd be perfectly fine with that scenario, and I'd have no trouble at all.
Yeah, and we've heard Mike Pettine say that quarterback, cornerback, and left tackle are those positions that you do bump up and give a little bit more importance to when you're evaluating prospects. And I would agree with you. When you look at the starting lineup, you could live with Nate Burleson right now. You could certainly, obviously, they plan to live with Brian Hoyer at quarterback. But right now, there isn't a number two corner on this team that you could feel great about, because I think you're right, Buster Skrien, best in the slot as that nickel guy. You need that number two to play the press man opposite of Joe Hayden. Talking, of course, with Scott Petrek from the Chronicle-Telegram. And, Scott, when you look at the quarterback situation in this draft and for the Browns, the consensus seems to be now 26, Teddy Bridgewater. That's where how everybody seems to think that this thing plays out. Do you think that's the case?
I do. In my mock, I had Watkins at 4 and Bridgewater at 26. It just makes too much sense to me. I think the Browns like him. I don't see another team necessarily dying to go get him above the Browns before they get to 26. You know, I'd be fine with the Browns moving up to 19, if that's what it took just to say, so they could feel comfortable that they're going to get the quarterback they want there, whether it's Bridgewater or Derek Carr. But I like the idea of Teddy Bridgewater. I know, Nathan, you like him. You know, I mean, the accuracy, the coming out of a pro offense, I think he's got a big enough arm. I think he's tall enough. You know, the slender, the fact that he's a little bit skinny scares me a bit. I don't love the fact that he wears gloves, but I've come to grips with that he can wear gloves, and he's better when he wears gloves, and it won't be a huge issue in the bad weather of Cleveland. So if they could get Bridgewater 26, I'd be delighted with that. And I think it makes, you know, say whoever they get it for, if it's Watkins or they trade down and get Gilbert. If Teddy Bridgewater is the second guy in that duo, I think the Browns get a home run today.
I agree. And when I try to think, you know, I was just thinking in my head, what's my ideal haul? And if they came away with either Watkins or Evans at four, or Justin Gilbert with that first pick because they moved back to get that corner, and then Bridgewater at 26, you're in such great shape going forward because you can either get a corner at 35 or a receiver at 35, whichever you don't get, because to me, I want to see the first three picks come from the quarterback, cornerback, and wide receiver positions, and that would be a phenomenal setup in my mind.
I couldn't agree more. You know, if you look at the other needs, I think they need an inside linebacker at some point. I think they need depth along the offensive line, but to me, those aren't picks that you force into the first round. You know, I think you get an inside linebacker later. I mean, you know, Craig Robertson wasn't even drafted and he started for him last year. I'm better with the offensive line than a lot of people are right now. I think Mitchell Schwartz is going to get better. I think they have options at guard. So I think you just add depth in the third, fourth, fifth round, but you address those three positions of need up top with the guys you targeted. And I think that's exactly what Ray Farmer should do, and I think that's what he'll be looking to do.
We're visiting with Scott Petrak, covers the Browns for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, talking with him right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with Nathan Zagura here at Radio City Music Hall. You know, you brought up Ray Farmer and his first draft as a general manager. Obviously, we're going to, you know, there's no sense, no track record really of what he's all about. We're going to learn a lot about him tonight and learn a lot about Mike Pettine tonight philosophically. But as I look at it, and I wrote about this for ClevelandBrowns.com, the idea that this is the make-or-break draft, that this draft is so big and so important, and while I think it's important, I just think that the Browns come into it, Scott, in such good shape overall that when you look at the punch list of things that they've accomplished since the end of last season by streamlining the operation with Farmer and Pettine in charge of the football, by, you know, going into free agency and hitting those key defensive spots by picking up a good slot receiver and seemingly helping the running back, all those areas that needed to be addressed, and have gone into a place right now or put themselves in a place right now where they don't need the miracle worker. They don't need the savior necessarily to come out of this draft. Do you buy that?
Well, I do, and I agree with that. And I think Ray Farmer had a solid free agency, and I think he clinched it when he was able to keep Alex Mack. You know, I think that would have had a difference. I'd feel differently about free agency if Alex Mack had got away, and we've talked about that plenty of times. But I do think there's pressure in this draft, and I think Joe Banner left Ray Farmer a gift with the 10 picks and the 2 in the first round and 3 in the top 35. However, I think the pressure comes from those picks because you can look at it going in, and we'll look at it after this draft in 2 years from now and say they had a chance to get so much better in this draft. Did they or didn't they? And it doesn't take a whole lot of hindsight to find a comparison. If we look back at 2012 with Trent Richardson and Brandon Whedon, the Browns had a chance to make a huge step there, and they failed. So if 2 years from now we're looking at the 4-26 and going, man, they're not contributing enough, you know, they were bust, Ray Farmer missed, then I'm not saying the Browns will be 4-12 again, but I'm saying it's a missed opportunity because you don't get – I mean, they're the only team in the league with 2 picks in the first round this year. So it doesn't come around very often. You have to take advantage when you get those opportunities.
Certainly you do. In my mind, if the Browns can come out of this draft with 4 starters, it will be a great success, and that's what I'm looking for. What do you think in terms of evaluating this draft as a success long-term? What's the thing that you're looking for the most?
Yeah, you know what? I think if you get the answer, the long-term answer, quarterback, obviously, that would be the number one thing this franchise has been looking for 15 years. And I don't think you should force it at 4. I understand those people who say you should force it at 4. I really get that argument. I just disagree with it, especially if there's a not no-brainer. And I don't think there is a no-brainer in this draft. So if you can find that guy 26 to 35, perfect. Beyond that, I think it's finding things to make that quarterback successful. And that, for me, starts with Sammy Watkins. It started in free agency with Ben Tate and Andrew Hawkins, but it continues with Sammy Watkins or whatever receiver you wind up getting to be that number 2 guy. And then I think you're right. You need to add quality starters. I think 4 or 5 is not asking too much, especially when you have that many picks at the top of the draft like that. And you should expect to hit on one of those late picks. You're just going to not, I'm not going to say get lucky, but guys like that work out. Todd Rubin was a six-round pick. Plenty of those guys late in the draft work out to starters. So if you're able to go 4, 26, 35, and those three, you hit on those, then you hit one of the third-round picks, and you hit one guy down the road, five starters is not too much to ask, I don't think.
No, not at all.
Good stuff. We really appreciate, Scott, you taking the time. We know you got a busy night like the rest of us over there in Berea you're going to be covering. And then hopefully we'll have a lot of good stuff to talk about later tonight and into tomorrow. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Enjoy it, guys.
He is Scott Petrak, Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, covers the Browns for them. We've got more mocking coming up for you. We're going to wrap it up. Yeah, we blow right through this thing much faster than the actual version. We've got picks 20, right. 20 through 2 through 32. They should just let us handle it.
That's fine with me.
We can handle it for the whole league.
Yeah.
Make sure the Browns get exactly
make sure they get Theodore.
Who we want them to get.
That's right.
Or who you want them to get. All right, we've got much more ahead. That, and we want to hear from you as well. We should have some time for calls at 216-578-0850 before we get on out of this show here. But we are going to be staying here at Radio City Music Hall through the night for the coverage of the 2014 NFL Draft. He is Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci, and this is ESPN 850 WKNR.